I remember our last family vacation. My older brother was about 5 years older than I am. I was in seventh or eighth grade at the time, and of course, it came to be the day that we were to drop him off. It just so happened that that was going to be in Minnesota, and it wasn't uncommon for my family to take trips every year, two or three times a year, to various places during Thanksgiving break, oftentimes, of course, to Notre Dame to see football games, Christmas time in the spring to go skiing. We would take many trips. And so this one had a particular cloud hanging above it as we were taking my older brother off as he was about to move out of the home. And we went up to Minnesota, and before we dropped him off, of course, Mom scouring the site to see what it was going to be like with her motherly intuition, getting the lay of the land. And at one point, we went to the cathedral, a marvelous sight. And something struck me immediately as a small child, that this looks remarkably similar to our cathedral back home in Wichita. Come to find out later, it's the same architect, and so of course there's an image and likeness of his inscribed upon everything that he makes. But this cathedral was set high on a mountaintop, a hill in the city that looked down upon the government building, the Capitol building, and with reason, as a sign, as a symbol of the way of God being above all things, above all things. But what was the most striking to me was that I went into the cathedral. And these beautiful pillars above the altar, a canopy, a marvelous sight. And behind and around this altar were little side altars like we have here. But there were perhaps 10 spread around throughout the course of the altar behind a large, large church, a large cathedral. And I was walking, and I turned at one point and saw one of those statues staring at me in the face. And inscribed underneath this statue were the words, Ecce Agnus Dei, behold, the Lamb of God. But it wasn't just these words etched in stone that caught my attention. The artist had something very particular happen with that statue, and that's his right arm. His hand was beginning to come forward with a finger pointing straight out from the spot of the statue. And of course, as a small child, I stared, and I knew he wasn't pointing at me. And so I turned around and saw that he was pointing right towards the tabernacle. And right there in that moment, I felt a sword, a drama that I was being drawn into, swept up. And there I was, an innocent bystander, a vague appreciator, a young appreciator of beauty. And all of a sudden, I was swept up into this message that transcends both time and space. Behold the Lamb of God. This is the message of the Baptist. This is the message that we hear every single time we come to Mass, and for profound reason. My brothers and sisters, the coming of the Messiah isn't just a historical event in the past. It's the reality in which we are situated. And there in that moment as a child, I was woken up to that reality from which I was previously numb to and asleep to. Behold the Lamb of God. For his name is Emmanuel, which means God is with us. My brothers and sisters, if our Advent is not saturated in this fact, saturated and dripping in the fact of his presence among us right here, right now, and today, we are missing the point. We are missing the point. And he comes with power. One mightier than I is coming after me. My brothers and sisters, Advent is the time of this might and power of the Almighty. A might and power that has inspired poets and artists throughout the centuries, that has inspired architects. A might and power that has inspired saints, single women to sing as they walk to the gallows. What a profound might and power this is indeed. And not with sadness to walk into those places, but with hope and with joy. With hope and with joy. That's what this time is all about, this time of Advent. And so today we hear this clarion call of the Baptist, and it's intended to spark something inside of us that this isn't just a Lenten figure. The Baptist is not just a Lenten figure. He's one associated with the coming of the Messiah. And of course, that is something that Advent is all about, his coming in history and mystery and in majesty. What a graced season indeed. And so we ought to hear this message to prepare the way. Prepare the way. And yes, there are things we can do to prepare the way. But my brothers and sisters, this is primarily a time of His action, His gift, and His glory. But we still can respond in certain ways. I have to but think of all of the mothers in our beautiful church and the sound of all of the children. And somehow a mother instinctively knows the sound of her child. That there can be 30 other children crying. And then all of a sudden one faintly cries and they know because a way is prepared for that voice. Yes, my brothers and sisters, this is the time to develop an affection for the voice of the Almighty. He has a singular claim upon us. And regardless of what noise is going on in our life, whether good or not, whether indifferent or bad, this is the time for the voice of the One to be heard singularly through all of the noise. And so let us be attentive to that. And not only that, but this highway is made through the wasteland. It's made through the wasteland. Oh, that ought to tell me something about my life. Yes, Lord, You are preparing a way through the wasteland that is inside of me, and left to my own devices would be produced of my own works. This is a time of Your goodness, of Your love, of Your fruitfulness, of Your might, and of Your power. So till the soil of my soul. And ironically, this wasteland that is inside of us is no longer a wasteland when the beautiful feet of Him who is to come treads upon it. And that is the joy and hope of the Almighty One, who baptizes with the power and the fruitfulness of the Holy Spirit. So let us hear this call in this grace season to prepare the way of the Lord, to allow Him to work in the wilderness and the wasteland that is inside of us, and we don't have to be afraid of it or scandalized by it, because there is One who loves you and has come to save you and to set you free and bring healing and peace. What a good God we have been given. What a beautiful Savior whose name is Jesus Christ, whose name is Emmanuel. I am with you even until the end of the age. What a beautiful season it is. A season of grace, a season of glory, a season of fire.